now have a retiring collection. So that's by the door if you would like to make a donation. Please only give if you're able. There's no compunction to at all. And if I could just say a few words as we give thanks for these gifts. Please bow your head. Gracious, loving God, we ask that you bless these offerings, however they are given. We also ask that you bless the people within this church who give so freely of their talents. Bless us all, Lord, we pray. Grant us the wisdom to continue to use all of these gifts in your service, to extend your kingdom and touch the hearts and minds of those who do not know you yet, and to make all feel welcome within your house. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? You would have thought that an extra hour in bed last night would have meant I would have been here nice and early. What a rush we had this morning. And then when we got here, you couldn't park anywhere. So anyway, I'm always delighted to come here. I always feel that you welcome us really well. Sometimes you can get a place, isn't it? You feel a bit awkward, don't you? But I feel at home here. So I hope that you feel the same and that you haven't just been disappointed by the news that you've got me again next week. Everybody's now writing in their diaries, I'm going to have the flu next week. So let's bow our heads and come before God. At the outset of this service, we say, Lord, be welcomed in this place. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to put aside all the things that have caused us concerns and stresses and worries in the past week. That you would take away from us and focus our hearts and minds away from any worries and concerns of the coming week. That this morning, in this roughly an hour, we can focus and worship you. That you would be the center of it all. Lord, we pray that you would bless us, give us peace, touch us where we need touching. Lord, we pray that you would be blessed by our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to open together by singing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Yes. Can it be on the first one of our list?
Oh, have we? Sorry. I like to cause confusion if I can. I've got How Deep the Father's Love for Us. So stand or sing, stand or sit, it's entirely up to you, but do join in and sing. The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear the mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. So we come to the bit that I call scene setting. We have this big argument in our church, and this is the children's talk. And I always think, well, we shouldn't call it the children's talk. So then became the all-age talk. And now I just call it scene setting, to give you a rough idea where we're going in the service. So we're scene setting now. When you get up in the morning, and you get out of bed, and you start to get yourself ready, we go to a thing called a mirror, don't we? Do you? No. Surely we go to the mirror and set our hair. But you look in the mirror and you see an image. And sometimes we sort of think, really, is that how I look? And our perceptions of ourselves and what we actually see are two different things. So I'm going to put some images on the screen. I don't want you to shout out, but I want you to look at them. You'll have probably seen most of these before, but I'm just going to pop the image up, and they're not going to stay up there for very long, but I want you to look and see what you see. Okay? So, you've probably seen most of those before. And I'm using them because it's to do with perceptions. So, what do you see? Saxophonist. Anybody see the face? Right. So, you know now that these are tricks. So what you're going to do is when you look at them, you're going to look for something other than what you obviously see. But there. I saw the face first. So, and I wonder what that says about me. What does it see? A table leg. Two faces. A candlestick. Yes? Two faces. So you've got a face here, facing a face. Or this table leg or a candlestick. Okay? What do you see? Sorry, am I in the way? And now I'm in your way, am I? What do you see? Right. Young lady? So a young lady here with a nice hat and that. Anybody see the old lady? The young lady's face becomes the old lady's nose and the neck place becomes the old lady's mouth. No, you can see it, okay? Right. But yes, it's interesting, isn't it, which one we see first? Do the stairs go up or are we underneath them? It's both, yes. It does depend, and if you look at it long enough, it actually changes. It's one of those funny images that you could be standing on the top step coming down, or you can be standing and these steps come out and you're underneath the stairs here. And so at the moment, I'm on the stairs, not under the stairs. It hasn't changed for me yet. Ah, it's changed now. So this becomes underneath the top step, down the runner, down. So I'm standing here and I'm underneath the set of stairs. And if you look at it long enough, it changes for you. It just suddenly flips, and you see the other image. He's not telling lies. It does. But it's to do with perception. Sometimes it's to do with what you expect to see, and sometimes it's just to do with the way our brains are triggered to react to things and the perception that we get of something. And I think one of the best ones on there is the old lady, young lady one, because some people just cannot see one or the other. They can see one, but they can't see the other one. So which one can you see when you look at it? The young lady. So we have the young lady. This is her face, and she's wearing a necklace, and she's got dark hair, and a hat, or this is a hat with a feather boa on the top and a cowl over the top. Now, if you look at it, let me try and explain it. So here we go. Take this as the lady's hair, an eyelash and an eye, and her nose coming down, and her mouth, and this is a hooded scarf and a woolen. Can't see it? So it's come around. Let's come and get a better look. Can you see it? Can you all see both? Who's struggling with them? Which one can you see?
I can see the young lady.
Right. So you're all at the moment you're all okay with the young lady. So think of, put the young lady to one side, and this is a woolly hat with a scarf. We have an eyelash and an eye, not an ear, an eye. And this is the young lady's chin with her nose. So this is now a wart and a nose and a nostril and a mouth. So the nose is down to be a face, and the chin is here, and the mouth is here. And this is a like a scarf and her cloak. Yeah. You don't believe me. So, if it's any help, I googled these and put them on, so you can find them on the mighty Google. Have a look at them, because there's a lot of them. There's one of an elephant. Does he have four legs or five legs? There's quite a few pictures, but it is all to do with perception. And that's what I want you to remember from this little children's talk, all age talk, scene setting talk. I want you to remember that when we come to our readings and the message I'm going to share with you. So we're going to sing again, and I've got Jesus Take Me As I Am. Is that what you've got? Yep, okay. Yeah, I haven't got And Can It Be, and I must have dropped it off. If we get time, we can add it in later on. So we're going to sing an old chorus. It's one that he's still trying with his picture. I'll put it back up at the end, and you can have another quick go at the end. This song is an old, I would say it's an old song. It's from the 70s, 80s. Jesus, Take Me As I Am. There's no other way we can come to God. We can only come as we are, and God will take us as we are if we're humble enough to allow him to do that. So let's, again, stand, sit and sing, whichever you wish. And we'll sing it through a couple of times. Yep.
Let's start the game, and I'll look at the key singing.
Back to you. As I am, I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. A precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed, life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. So I'm moving things around a little bit in the service today. So we're going to do our prayers for others. And I'm sure that you've all got people in your hearts and minds that you're thinking of, or situations with neighbours, friends, families around the world that you've seen on the news or whatever. And during this time, just you bring those before God. One of the things I love about God is that it doesn't matter how many of us are talking to him, he can hear every single conversation. He hears every single word of every single conversation, even if we're all talking at once. That's where he's not like us. So take this opportunity to pray. So Father, we come before you because you delight in the fact that we come to you to pray. We've just sung, Jesus, take me as I am, and we can come to you no other way. We are sinners who have been forgiven. We are saved by grace, and it's all been your work. So as we come before your throne, Lord, it is such a delight to be able to kneel at your feet, to bring to you the concerns of our hearts and the worries of the world around us. You told us in the scriptures to pray, even though you know everything that is going on. But Lord, you delight when we come into your presence. So this morning we bring before you the nations that we know of who are struggling with wars, the after effects of wars, negotiations of peace, trying to put peace treaties into place. We bring them before you, Lord, and we think of Israel and Gaza. We think of the Ukraine and Russia, and there are many others. And we bring them before you. And Lord, as we watch on the news and we see the unnecessary actions and killings, we ask, Lord, that somehow you would bring peace. We ask, Lord, that you would get through to the hearts of the leaders, break through the greed in their heart for more land, get through the hatred, the tit-for-tat killing. You did this, so I now have to do that. And put in their hearts the desire for peace, for reparation, for making good, for living together in harmony, for working with one another. We pray, Heavenly Father, for all of the organizations, governments, charities, just people who have gone there to help. And we pray that you would strengthen them. And in all the things that they see and they witness, we ask that you would strengthen them. Give them the resolve to carry on, to fight for peace, to work towards it, which is the reasons that they went. We pray for all those who have been dispossessed of their homes, of their lands, of their properties. We pray for all those who are struggling to find food. And we ask, Lord, that you would be close to them. Give the charities that are helping enough stuff to be able to feed them, to clothe them, to comfort them, to give them shelter. As we look on, it seems such a massive task that can never be sorted, but Lord, nothing is impossible for you. So we bring our prayers a little bit closer to home, and we pray for the UK, this place in which you have called us to live. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with those who in this land are worrying about their jobs, are worrying about having to feed the families, are worrying about paying the bills, particularly as winter is coming. We pray for those who are struggling to keep families together, struggling to keep a roof over their heads. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would be with them. And once again, we bring before you the charities that are involved in helping these people. May we not turn a blind eye, but may we support where we can. Lord, we pray that you would bring peace in this nation. We pray for our government, whether we agree with them or not. We pray for our royal family, whether we respect them or not. And we ask, Father God, that you, the God of all things, would bless them. Help them in the decisions they make. Help them in the problems that they face. Help them to stand for what is true and right and honest and just. And we ask, Lord, that even if we don't agree with them, that we would remember to pray for them and that we would remember to bring them and lay them at your feet. And coming just that bit closer to home, we pray for Northampton and Northamptonshire. We ask, Lord, that again that our council would be a council that is led by the conscience that you put up in them. Lord, that they would be a council that thinks of the people and wants to do what is best. We pray for those in this county who are dispossessed of home, those who are losing their jobs, those who are struggling to feed their families. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would be close to them all. And more importantly, Father, in all of this, we pray for your church. And we pray that your church would find its voice to stand up for what is true. Lord, not to just be like a chameleon and blend in the background and be seen to be doing possibly good things, but Lord, an organisation, as it were, that is standing out in our nation and declaring the truth and showing what the love of God and the mighty power of Jesus can achieve. We ask all these things, Lord Jesus, and the many other things that we have on our hearts and minds. We ask them and we bring them to you because you are God and because you are concerned. And we bring them to you and lay them at your feet. And we ask, Lord, do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at the news, I must admit I haven't watched the news this week. I've been so busy getting things organised and sorted out for the... I was saying to Sandra, in the last 5 weeks, coming up to next week, I've had five services to organise, plus one at work, plus two at work and one care home. So my mind's a bit all over the place. But a member of staff, still off work long term, she's just come back and is doing 2 or 3 hours a day and trying to get back into it. And then another member of staff decided he wasn't coming in because his wife was ill. So my week this week has been thrown all over the place. So I'm a little bit scatty this morning. But when we come to God with prayer, we can be honest with him, can't we? When we come to God, he's a God who understands and he looks at the heart. He looks at what it is that we're trying to do, and he looks at where we're putting him in things. So when we come and we do those prayers of intercession, and we look at a world that everything seems hopeless, I know that we can put our hope in God. I know that he is our cornerstone. So we're going to sing Cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less. Oh, the hell, thank you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in Saviour's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, is Lord of all. Darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, is Lord of all. Shall come with trumpet sound, oh may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, the Saviour's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, is Lord of all. Cornerstone, weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, is Lord of all. So we come to our readings, and I'm going to get straight into the message after this. We're looking at two little stories in Luke's Gospel. So Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went to the temple to pray, said Jesus, one a Pharisee and another a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven. He was beating his breast and he was saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this, the man went down to his home justified rather than the other one. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. And then in Luke 21, Jesus tells a parable. He looks up, sorry, this is not a parable, this is in the temple. He looks up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all of these have put in out of their abundance but to God. But she, out of her poverty, has put in all the livelihood that she had. So, Father, as we come before your word, we ask that you would help us to understand a new lesson from this, and that you would send us from here with a new mission in our hearts. Amen. So I said this morning, when you got up in the mornings, you looked in the mirror, and most of you told me that I was lying. But we look in the mirror and we see an image of ourselves. And we go away from the mirror, and do you remember what you actually saw? Or does your mind tell you how you think you see yourself? So let me give you an illustration. You wouldn't believe this, but next May, I'll be 60. I'm 59 and a half now, or nearly 59 and a half. I'll be 60 next May. And I know you're all looking and going, good gracious, I thought he was at least 75. When I go somewhere, for instance, if we go to, like we do with our friends, we go to the Western Burt Arboretum. I always get the name wrong. Arboretum. The tree place. And you see these wonderful big trees. Or if you ever go to Abington Park, in the middle of Abington Park, there's a beautiful big tree. And my brain says, wouldn't it be great to climb that tree? And then suddenly my body kicks in and says, no, it wouldn't. Because how I perceive myself and how I really am are two different things. Up here, I'm still the 18-year-old. I haven't changed. The way I think, the way I want to do things, my desires, my ambitions, they're still there. They haven't changed. The bit that's changed is this outer shell. And this is what limits me as I get older. So when I look in the mirror, I look and I think, oh, is that how I really look? Because in my mind, I'm a young, good-looking man. I'm glad you didn't laugh. And I see looking back at me, this bald, grey, haggard person. Perceptions are different things, aren't they? How we perceive ourselves when we're not looking at an image of ourselves. So another illustration is this. If I see somebody who's had children, and I haven't seen them for 20 years, and they tell me they're coming and they're bringing little Johnny with them, in my mind, little Johnny is still little Johnny. The fact that he's now 24 and he walks in, and then we all say the most obvious thing, don't we? Crumbs, you've grown. You've changed. Well, yes, because the last time you saw me, I was four. Perceptions. Perceptions of how we see things. The first parable that Jesus told these disciples in the first of the readings, he says, a man walked in and he stands in front of the temple and he says, oh God, look at me. I do everything right. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. I give to the poor. I live a good life. Aren't I good? And another man walks in and he goes and he stands in a corner and he says, and he doesn't even look up, and he says, God, have mercy on me because I'm a sinner. Perceptions. Walked in first, has a perception of himself that says he's wonderful. And because of all of his wonderfulness, God's going to love him and accept him. Well, God does love him and accept him. But those looking on are probably thinking, what a moron. Goodness me, isn't he proud? Isn't he self-centered? We think, is this what we want to be like? Do I want to be like that man who's telling everybody how good I am? Telling everybody that everything I do is for it's all for show. The perception of him that he is projecting is not one that I would like people to think of me. The man who stands in the corner beating himself says, God, have mercy on me. I'm a He's not looking around and going, is anybody looking at me? He's trying to get out of eyesight. He's trying to be out of the way. He doesn't want anybody to imitate him because he's not good enough. His perception of himself is a more true reception of us as human beings than the first one. The beauty is that God looks down on both and he loves them both. And he's got different problems in each one to deal with. Which one would you like to be more like? Not exactly like, but which one would you like to be more like? And I often wonder when we as Christians walk around, I look back at the history of the church where we sort of, the great crusades where it was accept our faith or die. You know, it's not quite the image I I want when I talk about being a Christian. Jesus never did that. But I do want to be like the man who says, you know, not, it's not about me. Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner. It's all about you. We come back to that song that we sang earlier on. Jesus, take me as I am. And Jesus will take us as we are. We don't need to change because God will change whatever he needs to change in us. But the image that we project could be the very image that's stopping other people coming to church. Many moons ago, in the second church I went to, when I went to the Elim Church in Northampton, there was a man there who I greatly respected, lovely man, businessman. And we used to go to the prayer meeting and he would stand and he would pray. And all it did for me was to say, gosh, I'm never going to be able to pray like that. So therefore I never prayed. Because I couldn't pray in the way that he prayed. He would use long words and long prayers, and you could see people waiting for the end of the prayer. The image that we project of our Christian faith is the very thing that is stopping people coming to faith. And that's a hard thing to deal with, isn't it? Because I could be stopping somebody coming to faith because of the way I project who I am. I had a really good friend about the same sort of time as this chap who used to pray, and had a conversation with him once. And I said to him, I'm going to call him, let's call him Stephen. His name's not Stephen, but and you probably don't know him, but just on the off chance. So we'll call him Stephen. And I said to him, we'd been to a prayer meeting, and by that point I was able to pray. This chap wasn't there anymore. And I was able to pray. And I said to Stephen, why do you do that? And he says, what? I said, why do you go into a prayer language when you pray? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, when you're talking to me, you don't talk like that. So you don't use these and thous and thuses and thy. And it's almost like this thing that we have that God speaks old English. God only speaks in the language of the King James Version. But he doesn't. What I love about God and what I love about prayer is that I can go to God and I can talk to him in exactly the same way I'm talking to you. God doesn't want a special language. He wants my time. He wants my attention. He wants me to spend time with him. And I'll tell you now, I used to walk to work many moons ago. We used to walk to work and I would spend the journey, it was about a 20-minute journey, praying. And I would pray out loud. I would verbally pray, and it was a conversation. I'd walk through Abington Park and I would go, Lord, look at the squirrels. Aren't they funny? Aren't they cute? And it's, you made them. You take great delight in them. I never used to go, Lord, look at those wonderful squirrels. Aren't they wonderful? Thou must take great delight when thou seest them running around, gathering their nuts and hiding them in the soil that thou hast created. I would talk to God like I would talk to the person standing next to me. Even to the point that one day I asked God a question and he responded in an audible voice that I turned around thinking somebody had crept up behind me because I was having a conversation with God. And perceptions were that I was mad because I was walking through the park talking to myself. But I was having a conversation with my God. And in the second reading, we have the widows, the story of the people who have got plenty of money. We all know people like this. You know, they'll make a big show. They've got their money. They've got their wealth. They've done all their savings. There's nothing wrong with all of that. But when they were going into the temple, they were going in. The temple used to have, I think it was a brass or a copper gathering bowl. And the idea was, what you're getting here is just out of there. They would get their coins out of their pocket and they would drop them in. Clang, 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 clang. So that everybody could hear it. And it was almost like, look at how much I'm putting in here. Clang, 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 clang. Perception. The widow with two mites probably went up with her two little coins and went as close to the pot as she could and just dropped them in. Ding. And Jesus said, you know what? He said, she has given more than all of the others there put together. Because they've done it, he's saying, for show. Out of everything they have, is this bit I can give to God. She has given everything she has. The last two coins. It's a good one to do this for a sermon about tithing and giving, isn't it? I'm not doing that. I'm not going to get at you about what you give or what you don't give. But perceptions. Would you like to be more like the rich people giving it for show? Or would you like to be more like the young lady or the widow there who is just putting in it secretly because she doesn't want everybody to know how much she can't afford to give God? I have found in my life, we've never been in well-paid jobs. We've always been in low-paid jobs. We're those sort of people. And that's not, I don't say that as a, I'll take pity on us. All right? We have discovered that even if our finances, and when you go through them and you think, but we can't afford to give whatever to every month. We're struggling to make ends meet as it is. All right? I have found that 9/10 goes further than 10/10. My one conclusion is God is not good at maths. How can 9/10 go further than 10/10? But with God it can. It's the same thing as the young boy giving his 5 loaves and 2 fish. How can 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000 plus people? But with God, it can. Because God is the God of miracles. How we see ourselves is not what is important. How we see ourselves is not what is important. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to tell you something. I may have told you this, so it might not be a surprise, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. I am not a confident person. I was talking to somebody at work about this the other day, and she went, what? You all strike me as really confident. I am not a confident person. I can do this. I can stand in front of a congregation and preach because God gives me the strength to do it. Okay, when I was about 8 or 9, my writing has always been bad. That's why I don't send handwritten things to people, because it starts off nice and neat on the page, but by the time I got to the end of the first sentence, it's beginning to go. By the time we got to about sentence 3, you'd probably struggle to read it. I was probably born to be a doctor, but just not clever enough to do it. So I tend to type things up because that way you can read what I've written. And I spent ages in a lesson writing a story, because this is what we were doing it. And my teacher sat at his desk there, and I went up with this piece of work I'd spent ages on, going, I'm going to make this really neat, it's going to be a really nice piece of work. And I put it on his desk, and he's marking away like this, and I put it on his desk there, and he went, it's not good enough, go and do it again. And what I didn't realize until I was probably about 45 was that statement wedged itself in my memory, in my mind. And everything I do, I still, and I'm going to use present tense, everything I do, I expect criticism. I expect people to come and say, it's not good enough. Because that is there. I know what it is now, and I've dealt with it, but it's still there. It still pops up on my shoulder, and I'll tell you exactly what it says. He jumps up in the middle of something, and he'll go, they're all waiting for you to make a mistake, you know. They're all watching you, waiting for you to make a mistake. They're all sitting there wishing that you'd shut up now. My perception of myself is not what God sees. My perception of myself that I project is not actually what you see. What is the real me? I come across confident because I've learned to deal with it, but actually I quake. I used to go and do school assemblies, and before I started an assembly I was really worried. I was only doing a 5-minute thing, but it's almost like once I start I'm okay, but the starting of it is difficult. So how we see ourselves is not important. Because I still say, who wants to listen to what I've got to say? I still say to myself, well, what have you got that's different to anybody else that gives you the right to share these things? My perception of myself is not what's important. The fact is I've given myself to God and I've said to God, I'll do what you've called me to do. And he does seem to have called me to do this sort of thing. I hope I encourage people. How other people see us, it's not important. The image you project to others, don't worry about it. It's not important. How they see you doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they see you in jeans and a t-shirt or ripped clothes or upset or whatever. That doesn't matter. What matters is how God sees you, how your heart is before God. So look at those two situations that we presented ourselves with. And in both, we have somebody who is presenting themselves as righteous and successful, high standing in the eyes of those around them, self-elevated. But you also have the person who's going the other way, hiding in a corner. Don't look at me. Don't try and copy me. Don't try and be like me. Which camp do you fall in? See, God has called you with a purpose. And God has called you with a mission. God has called you with a job. And I wonder how many Christians go through the whole of their Christian life and never actually find out what that is, because they've been too busy trying to be something else for God. How many of us have actually taken the time to sit down with God in quiet and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who are you going to put across my path today? So your perception of yourself is one thing. Others' perception of you is another thing. But God's perception of you is what's important. So, we're going to sing I've got it down to our last hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Because everything we are is as a result of what Jesus did on the cross. And it humbles me when we come to the cross, when I survey the wondrous cross, or we can kneel at the cross. We're going to close after that with prayer. And this is not on my notes, but if I've touched you in any way in what I've said and you want me to pray for you this morning, then I'm going to invite you to come forward. Is that all right? Do you do that sort of thing here? Right. I have no special powers. I have no special anointings. But I'll pray for you. If you're struggling through things, if you would like some prayer, maybe for clarification, or maybe just want me to pray for you, then please come forward. And I am not going to be offended if nobody comes forward. I just sort of feel I need to give you that opportunity this morning. So whilst we're singing, if you want me to come and pray for you, please just come forward and we'll sing the whole song because I move the words on, and then I'll do some prayers and then we'll close our service. Oh, I didn't put that up, did I? Right. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gained I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. So Father, I pray that you would help us in all that we do. I pray that you would help us in our perception of ourselves, and that we would see ourselves